John turned me on to a new book. So you saw it in the Star Tribune. It's called Prairie Silence, a Memoir. It's written by Melanie Hoffert. She grew up on a farm near Windmere, North Dakota. She spent her childhood meandering gravel roads and listening to farmers at church potlucks. Oh, she now lives in Minneapolis. Her work has appeared in a lot of publications. She's also been a finalist for the Loft Mentor Series twice. And Melanie Hoffert joins us now on the Friday Morning Show. Melanie, thanks for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
Now, John is forcing me to tell you this. I've really been into your book so much so that I'll wake up in the middle of the night and I'm like, okay, I'm going to read a little bit before I fall back to sleep.
Oh.
And I forgot to bring it in with me today.
She forgot the book, Melanie.
I have passages ready to go because your writing is so
Well, that's so good to hear. I'm glad you are enjoying it.
Well, tell us about this place where you grew up. That's some of the writing that I was drawn to the most, I think, in this book, is your love of the land of North Dakota.
Yeah, thank you. So, yeah, I grew up in rural North Dakota on a farm near a town, which is actually pronounced Windmere, but many people do say Windmere.
Uh-huh.
So Windmere, North Dakota, which has a population of a little over 500 people. I graduated with a class of 21, so it's with the same 21 kids from, you know, the beginning till the end. And I write a lot about how living in the city, I really crave the North Dakota landscape and harvest and everything that, you know, is so abundant back in North Dakota, which many people don't quite understand what's so beautiful about it, but that's what I try to capture in the book, the beauty of the plains.
Part of the title includes a rural expatriate's journey to reconcile home, love, and faith. John went a little crazy because he had never seen the word expatriate before. You missed that conversation we had about 10 minutes ago about that word.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so I use that word because in ways I've been, you know, sort of taking myself out of rural America, even though I love it so much. And so that, too, is something that I write about in the book, this, you know, how I don't live there, but my family still does, and how there are many of us, I think in the book I call us the in-betweens, those of us who leave, but we never truly leave because we're so connected to this place that we call home. And so that's where the real expatriate came in.
What kind of feelings consume your body when you go back home, when you're driving through?
That's a really, really great question. It starts out, and I write about this in the book, My Journey Home, and I should mention, part of the arc of my book is I take a month off from my job and I go home to live the life of a farmer. So the trip home is always like this. I will start out very tense and I drive, and as the miles go by, you know, the houses start to thin and the suburbs start to thin. And with the changing of the landscape, I change too. I become more relaxed. There's an openness you can see for miles. And I continue to become relaxed until I hit the gravel roads, and that's really where, you know, I'm welled up with this sense of peace and sense of being home, because there's nothing like driving on gravel, and I have to drive on gravel to get home and eventually to the farm. When I do get to the farm, I always have a little routine where I get out of my car, I walk around the makeshift roads that make up the farm, I go to the barn, and then I crawl up and I look out over the land. That's my way of reentering.
Tell us about that barn on your family's farm.
Oh, boy. There is a gorgeous old barn that has been on my family's farm. I learned on this trip home to North Dakota, I thought my grandpa built it, but it had actually been on the farmstead before my grandpa got there, which makes it a very, very old barn. And for the last, I don't know how many years, I have had this tug of war with my dad, because the barn is getting older and older, like many of the old barns, you know, across the prairie. And so every year every time I come home, the barn is leaning a little bit more, and it looks like it's going to collapse. And my dad has threatened for years to take the barn down. And, of course, I'm horrified by this idea because I love the barn so much. It's really what I think is as sort of the archetypal view of the farm. It makes the farm look like a farm. It makes it feel like a farm. So during my trip home, Dad was, you know, again threatening to take the barn down, and I was very sad about that. So I end up in one chapter of the book writing about how I went and I took pieces of the barn. So I spent days like taking the nails out and pulling the wood away and almost like harvesting the barn to take home with me to the city to remember it in case it went down.
Hmm.
We're talking with Melanie Hofford about her new book that's out. It's called Prairie Silence, a Memoir. You have a really interesting way that you describe what you mean by this idea of prairie silence. I wonder if you can explain that to us.
Yeah, so prairie silence, I write about, it sort of takes three forms in the book. One is obviously the land. It's a very quiet place. And when I go home, there's nothing like the silence of North Dakota. So when I go home, I finally feel like I can be in quiet, where I can't find that anywhere else, where on the earth it seems. The second notion of silence in the book is this connection that I make to the people. So I write a lot about how there's almost like a silence ingrained in the people, and that people often don't explain their deepest fears or truths, or they don't reveal, you know, parts of themselves to one another. So while you live in this small community where everyone takes care of everybody and people would rush to each other's side if something were to go wrong, I think a lot about in the book about how, you know, people don't really talk, though, about who they really are, which leads me to my third notion of silence, which is my silence. I happen to be gay, and I, you know, growing up in North Dakota, I didn't talk about it ever. And well, I've gone on to, you know, my adult life, and it's not something that is a secret. So when I travel or when I'm with my colleagues in the city, I don't even think about it. It's such a minor part of my identity at this point. But when I would go back to North Dakota, I literally could not talk about it because the silence had been so ingrained in me. And so in the book, I weave all of these silences together, and I explore, you know, why that is and how we hold our silences. And I talk about, even though I have my silence about being gay, I look at the other people that I know in my life and I recognize similar silences in them about completely different topics. So that's another theme in the book.
You know, I thought it was so interesting to read about, you know, that you, when you came out to your mom, which most of us would think then, oh, then you're completely open and you can therefore talk to your mom about your life and your relationships. But yeah, that there was silence again after you came out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it was a really challenging thing because I did talk to my mom when I was 19. And though at first she had this moment of trying to understand, like I think so many parents do, she then was very okay and open and tried to make me, you know, feel, you know, even though she was still processing it, really tried to make me feel, I think, loved and accepted. But I was not practiced talking about it or revealing this part of myself to the people who, you know, loved me the most. So essentially, I stopped talking again. And for another 7 years, I didn't acknowledge it. My family didn't acknowledge it. It was this silence that was just pervasive when I went home, which, again, I thought was odd, but I didn't know why that was when I was comfortable in my everyday life. And for a writer, those contradictions or those strange things are often the things that are the most interesting to write about. So I was really trying to understand that in my writing.
So, Molly, what was it like telling your mom you were gay?
Melanie.
I'm sorry, Melanie. I'm sorry. Melanie, what was it like?
No problem.
And also, what about Dad?
So, telling my mom, you know, at 19, this is one of the most terrifying things you can do, even though I knew deep down with the type of family that I have, there was never a question of acceptance or love, and I'm so thankful for that because I know that's not everybody's story. So while there was that acceptance that I just knew, I also was really scared because this was something I just didn't talk about. And like I said, I knew I was different, you know, since I was a little kid. And so I held that for a long time. So letting go of that was really challenging. It was very terrifying for me. So I would say it was scary, but she, you know, overall my family was fine. Dad, I never actually told him. So I write about in the book how my mom, I think for all of us kids, I have 3 siblings, is a conduit to my dad. So we don't really talk about things that are very personal, even though my dad is a lovely, sweet, nice human being. It's just how our family sort of operated. And so I talk about how it's always been sort of challenging, you know, to talk directly to him, though, you know, now it's been many years and it's like not a big deal. My dad still and I haven't talked directly about it, but he, you know, has been very supportive. And as the book's, you know, come out and has gotten a lot of attention, he's been very, very proud and happy for me. So that's meant a lot.
You know, your dad sounds a lot like my dad. My dad never, ever told me he loved me, never had the ability to hug me, and it's kind of haunted me forever. That's kind of a tough thing to deal with, isn't it? And I use my mom as the conduit, too.
Yeah. I think it's, and this is like what I try to explore in the book, is there's something culturally about, you know, people who just grew up, and I'm, of course, generalizing, this isn't everybody, but there's definitely something, at least where I'm from, where, you know, people sort of keep to themselves, and particularly the men, you don't show too many emotions. I mean, I know a lot of my friends have stories like yours. My dad, you know, does say I love you, and thankfully that's good. But there's still that level of, you know, what do we talk about? What's okay to talk about? You have to sort of navigate that. And so I think that it's hard to break that down once that's sort of a norm in a family for certain.
We're talking with Minneapolis writer Melanie Hofford about her new book called Prairie Silence. So what was the month like of going back to North Dakota to be a farmer?
It was amazing. So I went back both to farm as well as to take some time off from my job to do some concentrated writing. I loved it. I just told someone that when you grow up on a farm, harvest is like Christmas in ways. There's the smell of corn in the air. The combines are roaming across the land. You see lights, you know, at 10 o'clock at night. And there's this smell in the house of mom cooking, you know, fried onions and hamburger after 10 o'clock because dad and, you know, my brother come in really, really late. And so that whole, the feelings and the smells and the sounds and the sights of harvest are so ingrained in me. And so going home to actually experience a full cycle of harvest was really amazing. So I got to follow my dad and brother and be on the farm and sort of watch their habits and routines, which I, you know, talk about in the book. I got to drive a tractor with my mom one day, which was, you know, an experience and really great. So for me, it was like returning to something that was so central in my life at one point in time. And I also was just really amazed at how I was listening to talk radio as, you know, many people do in the shop where people are doing their work, the hired men and my dad. And the news of harvest is in the airwaves. Like, everyone's talking about the yield and the weather and, you know, giving farm reports. And I just thought that was really interesting to be back within it. I really loved it.
So, Melanie, was it that fun and that exciting and memorable for you when you were a little girl?
You know, it was, and or it, maybe it wasn't memorable or exciting, but it definitely was something I loved. So my birthday is in October, so my birthday and Halloween and the harvest were all sort of wrapped up in one. But I didn't recognize it as like an event because it's just I didn't know any differently, if that makes sense. So it's just something that was part of my life.
Sure.
I certainly would say that the work wasn't all that enticing to me as a kid. And when I announced to my parents that I was going home, my mom sort of, you know, we talked on the phone, and I write about this in the book, where she's like, oh, I don't think you'd like to be a farmer. And I joke about how she's probably remembering how I would whine and not even want to mow the lawn. So why in the world would I want to come home and try to farm? And so I think as a kid, I shied away from the work. And my dad and brother would probably say that I didn't work very hard when I was home anyway, which is kind of a joke. Yes.
So how did writing this memoir, how did it affect you? What did you get out of it?
You know, I've been writing this book for 10 years, and I didn't sit down to write a book. I didn't know how to write a book, so I thought I was doomed as a writer because I just didn't know how. So over the years, I just wrote concrete things that were interesting to me, or like I mentioned earlier, I tried to talk about the conflicts in my life. So writing the book as a writer was an amazing experience because I love writing, and it was part of my life for so many years. I think in terms of impact in my life, I think there's probably no way around it. Once you write something, it becomes its own entity. And so early on, like years ago, when I shared a couple chapters with my mom, it actually helped facilitate some of the dialogue and discussion between us. So it opened up those channels. So I would say that writing both, like from a writer's perspective, has been really wonderful for me, but it has also actually impacted the trajectory of my relationships in my life. And I think that is going to continue to be true as book circulates in the world and does whatever it's going to do.
Well, you got your big picture in the Minneapolis Tribune, an even bigger one in the Fargo Forum, and we appreciate you for being on Northern Community Radio.
That's Melanie.
No, I'm so glad you invited me. It's so wonderful to talk to you both.
That's Melanie Hofford. Her book is called Prairie Silence. You can find more information at her website, Melanie Hofford, HOFFERT.com.